Let's turn in our Bibles to the book of Luke, chapter 8. Luke, chapter 8. We're going to deal with this a parable called the parable of the sower today. And Jesus told a parable is simply a short story that illustrates a truth. And it does here also. And so let's notice the parable of the sower together. Luke, chapter 8, verse 4. And when a multitude had gathered and others had come to him from every city, he spoke by a parable. Here it is. And a sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trampled down, and the birds of the air devoured it. And some fell on a rock, and as soon as it sprang up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. But others fell on good ground, sprang up, and yielded a crop 100-fold. And when he had said these things, he cried out, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." And let's look at the interpretation of that parable in verse 11. Now the parable is this: the seed is the word of God. And those by the wayside are the ones who hear, then the devil comes and takes away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. But the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no root, who believe for a while, and in time of temptation fall away. Verse 14, and the ones that fell among thorns are those who, when they have heard, go out and are choked with cares, riches, and pleasures of life, and bring no fruit to maturity. But the ones that fell on the good ground are those who, having heard the word with a noble and good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for your divine presence that's here today. You've answered us, Lord. You're pure. I know your presence is here. Your Holy Spirit is here. We ask you, God, to guide me as a speaker, God. Guide all of your people, all of us, as we hear your word. And dear Father, I pray your blessings would be upon the church today. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. We look at different stages of the Christian life, and I believe they are borne out here, not necessarily all the stages of the Christian life, but the response to the Word of God. And Jesus here tells us that the seed is the Word of God that's being talked about here. And the seeds that are sown in the hearts of humanity is brought out here, praise God. And there is the seed of God's word is sown all over the world today while we're in this church and doing that God wants there to be a harvest. And certainly here in the agricultural society, as Jesus spoke to, he uses this illustration about sowing the seeds. And they knew what it was. And they knew what it was to bring a crop. And they knew what it was to have crop failures. And they knew what it was to just labor and not really have the harvest they wanted to have. But if we look at our heart, our life as a soil, we could find the seed of God's word has fallen upon the soil of our heart. And it is able to give words of truth to you and I, words that will challenge you to change decisions that you make in your life, words that will challenge you to become sanctified, set apart, devoted to God. And so we need to let the Word of God take its lodging place in our heart. My dad, if you don't mind me, use a personal illustration. So I'll use it, whether you mind or not. My daddy was a very powerful man of God. He wasn't a preacher, but he was a man of God. He could preach more in a testimony service in 30 seconds than some preachers could preach in 30 minutes. Hopefully that's not going to refer to me. But anyway, but a man approached my dad after a sermon, after not mine, but one sermon, and he said, "I didn't get anything out of that sermon, did you?" My dad was not really outspoken too much, but he was here. And Dad said, "It was a good sermon, you just didn't bring anything to put it in." Okay. So hopefully the word, the seed of God's word will fall upon our heart on good soil tonight, today. I believe it will. And we are told to prepare the soil of our heart to receive God's word. If we get back in the Old Testament, Hosea chapter 10, verse 12, it says, "Sow for yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up the fallow ground, soil, for it is time to seek the Lord till he come and rains righteousness upon you." Praise God. And so we find here some great truth here in sowing the seed of God's word. And so as Jesus progressed in his ministry upon this earth, we find the Pharisees and the religious leaders refused to believe, and that would be that the soil that was fell by the wayside. Some people rallied around Jesus because of his miracles and healing and feeding, but refused to stay with his message. And so these would refer to the seed that fell upon stony ground. And if we were to look at the rich young ruler, he was interested in Jesus but would not accept him because of the strong pull of materialism. This would refer to the seed that fell upon, that fell among thorns. And then there are others that followed him and were committed to his word regardless the cost. And these would refer to the seeds that fell upon good ground. Amen. And so God's word is powerful wherever it is preached, wherever it is taught, and whatever, wherever the truth of this word is preached, it has brought forth salvation. People's lives have been changed. They've been turned around, living for God. Once they live for self and sin, they now live for Jesus. Where this truth of this God is, of God's word is preached, and the word of God is powerful. The Bible says it's living and powerful and sharper than a double-edged sword, piercing even the division of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, and as was discerned the thought and the intent of the heart. The word of God's powerful. And so we believe that. And so let's look at this parable, if we may, today. And first we see that seeds were sown by the wayside. The word of God fell upon people that just really didn't care. In that way, there was talking about a well-traveled path where there is no tilling of the soil to get it ready to receive the seed. And many times people's hearts are like this. It's hard. They're cold. And so they're not ready to receive God's word. I worked years back with a man named Wayman. If you've got a friend named Wayman, I'm not talking to you. I'm talking about him. But I began to talk to him about the Lord. It was just before I left that job and went to and moved. And I told him, I said, "Wayman, I've talked to you. I've been here with you, and I've enjoyed working with you," and that, you know, so forth, small talk. But I said, "What do you think about God and about Jesus Christ, and what are you going to do with Jesus Christ?" And he said, "All religion," this is his words, "all religion is the same. It's just all the same stuff." That was his way of putting it, close to his way of putting it. And he said, "It doesn't matter who you are, what religion you are, it's all just the same thing." But it's not all the same thing. And society today rejects the evangelical Christian viewpoint, the point that says that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through Christ, and we make it exclusive only to Jesus, and he's the way, he's the only way, and it doesn't embrace Islam, it doesn't embrace all the religions of the world, because it's not all the same stuff, because there's only one Savior, one Lord, one King, one God and Father of all, who's above all, through all, and in you all. It's just one. Praise God. So we know that. But our responsibility is to sow the seed of God's word. And really, whether you're a speaker or not doesn't matter, but we all sow the seed of God's word in the way that we live, in who we are, and what we appear to be to society. Amen. And God has given the responsibility of all of us to be a light to this world in a darkened world. God has given us good news to give to other people, and the gospel is good news. Amen. Not some same old stuff of every religion. We have Christ, the way, the truth, and the life. There is a personal relationship, a personal walk with God. The world needs to know that. And the thing that is missing in society today is God. It's not too much of this or too much of that, or bad politicians, or bad this person or that person. What is missing in people's lives is relationship with God. But God is able to give. And Jesus, God gave heaven's greatest treasure, his only begotten Son, that we might have relationship with Christ. Thankful for that. So Jesus says here that some of the seeds of God's word fell by the wayside. And the wayside represents unprepared ground, places where truth is quickly replaced with lies, and the enemy is in full swing of replacing truth with lies today. That's what he does. The wayside is where the scripture is laughed at or mocked, and is by many people today. A place where the devil quickly reasons away its truth rather than helping us recognize its truth. The birds here that come and steal the seeds that don't fall on the well-beaten path by the wayside, they represent the devil's attempt to destroy truth that could bring life. Amen. You know, we got to beware of the devil, because you're going to find him in every church. You say, well, that doesn't compliment our church. Well, yeah, really it does. He's trying to do something because we're doing something right. He don't like the presence of God. He wants to destroy that, and he wants you to get off on sidetrack where Jesus is no longer Lord, the center of your life. He wants to do that. Anything he can do to sidetrack you. He's even a religious devil. He's just the wrong one. Amen. But you see, the Word of God just gives us the truth, the straight truth of who Jesus is, what eternity is, what sin is. And we live in a society that don't want any absolutes. No absolutes, you know. Or things are, have to be this way or are this way. The world doesn't want to hear that. In the world today, society wants no guide to right and wrong. No one wants to stand up and say this is right or this is wrong. And it goes all, you hear it all the time. But I want to tell you, the Bible is full of absolutes. Amen. The Bible tells you there's absolutely a heaven to go to. There's absolutely reason to walk with Christ. There's absolutely reason to have Him as your Savior. There's absolutely reason, on top of that, for you to be filled with the Holy Spirit and to live for God and serve God. It is full of absolute. There's absolutely a heaven, absolutely a hell that you don't want to go to. There's absolutely a truth, and absolutely sin is named in scriptures. Not some sin we make up because that's legalism, but it's a sin is named in the Bible for what it is, and we need to avoid it. And the seed of God's word, amen, many times is just thrown by the wayside as nothing, and it's stolen by the devil, and many people are deceived by that. Second of all, we find the seed was put upon stony ground or rocky ground. But the scripture, many times the word, the seed of God's word falls upon people ready to receive the word. They hear and they receive and have joy that God's word is spoken to them. Thank God for it. But it can't stop there. And we see here in scripture that the soil of their heart lacks depth. And it's just stony ground and rocky ground, and they aren't rooted in truth. And when the initial joy is gone, they fall back into an old sinful way of life. Amen. And so it shouldn't be this way. But either our heart is prepared to receive God's word or it's not. And I know a few stony ground people I've witnessed over the age. You have too. Amen. And so we find that there's people that start off right and begin to get excited about the ways of God. I'm born again, I'm saved, I'm on my way to heaven, that, and they're excited about it for a while. But after a while, they fall back to a sinful lifestyle or way of lifestyle when they're disappointed by something they asked God to do that didn't work. Or I prayed and asked God to answer this prayer, and He didn't answer it the way I wanted to, so I'm not going to follow Him anymore. I want to tell you something, friend. That's a foolish decision to make. Man, praise God. We're talking about eternity here. This life also an eternal life. Praise God. And so there's people that do that. And it's a prime time when a person is at that place where they're in a place of decision, they hadn't really made up their mind they're going to serve God or not, is a prime time for false doctrine to invade their lives. And they give way to something else and somebody else's interpretation of the Bible, or they give way to somebody else's way of doing things. Or they'll rearrange some way or another to make it a lot easier, a lot more acceptable to society than what God intended it to be. And so, such is the case with Jehovah's Witnesses. They've even rewrote their Bible. New World Translation is not an accurate translation of Scripture, I can tell you that. Amen. But sown on the stony ground, and this is a cease to be Christ-centered. And my friend, if the church gets away from being Christ-centered, we become then the only alternative is to be self-centered. That is not God's way, but Christ-centered is the way to be. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1, Paul tells the church at Corinth, he says, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God, for I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified." That's what he preached. He told the church, "I was with you in weakness and fear and much trembling. My speech and my preaching was not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." He pointed people to Christ. He said, "Christ is the way. You follow him. You live for him. Don't get sidetracked with some false thing. You live for God, no matter what." And that's what we're supposed to do. You say, "Well, do you believe once saved, always saved?" Yes, I do. If you always follow him, you'll always be saved. Praise God. But if you turn away from him, you'll be lost. But it says here in the book of 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 20. Bring this to your attention. Remember, this is a good one. It's all good. There were false teachers that arose, and so this epistle had to do with that. And I want you to notice here, 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 20. If you want to turn there, you can. Praise God. If you're wondering where that is, it's right after 1 Peter. Okay. Shame on me. But concerning the false teachers that had come into the church there, these people that had got their eyes off of Christ, and the stony ground people here, we find, it says, "For after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." Now, these people had been saved, or they wouldn't have not have escaped the pollutions of the world. They were saved. It says, "And then they are again entangled in them. And if they were once saved, or they couldn't be again entangled in the worldly things. And it said, the latter end is worse for them than the beginning. For it would be better for them not to have known the way of righteousness," which shows they did know the way of righteousness at one time, "than having known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered to them." They were saved and they turned from their righteous way of living. And it says, "But it has happened to them according to the true proverb." Maybe not one, might be a good, if you're on a diet, this is a good one to read because it'll take your appetite away. "It's happened to them according to the true proverb, a dog is returned to its own vomit, and a sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mud." The Word of God says that. That is a comparison of somebody who's known Christ but turn away from the commandment delivered to them. Amen. Someone who had escaped the pollution of the world, someone who had been saved but are entangled again in them and overcome. And so people that the seed that falls upon stony ground many times are those people who are happy at first and escaped and are saved and living for God, but somewhere along the line they let things come in that become more important than Christ, and they fall back in their own way of living, and they're like the dog and the sow in the proverb given. Amen. And then there, I know you're ready for me to move on, so I will. And the next group we find here is where the seed of God's word falls among thorns. And this is the soil that has to compete with unwanted things planted. Things that bear no fruit or things that spring up and choke good seed and good plants so that they're not able to come to full maturity. And things that hinder the growth of the good that was planted. And my dad was a farmer, and so I know what it is to go and to pull weeds out from the peanuts is what we planted, and that's what the crop was, main crop was where I lived. And so I spent summers hoeing peanuts, or hoeing weeds away from peanuts. And so that was not a very fun time, but that's something we did. Whether you liked it or not, you just worked. Amen. And so we did that, and so this is talking about the soil of a person's heart becomes contaminated with so many other things that growth stops. And the Bible tells us to grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So the Word of God is telling us to grow spiritually. Amen. And so that we can't allow other things to grow up in our lives that hinder our walk with God. We can't wait for other or allow things that come up that are more important than God that choke out our relationship with God. And we can't allow things to become so more important than God in our lives that we don't follow God anymore. If you do that, you'll be backslidden. And so we have got to be careful of the thorns that grow up, and they do grow up, and they want to choke out the life of Christ. And that's the work of the enemy, for sure, is to cause things to come into your life that will take God's place. And nothing can take the place of our Savior. Nothing can take the place of what He did on the cross for us. There's no other way. One way, His way, the only way. And so we see here that there's some of the seeds that were sown among thorns. And it says, there are those who, when they have heard, go and are choked with cares, riches, and pleasures of life and bring no fruit to maturity. Okay, so it's pretty well spelled out here. And so we find that today that their relationship is choked out by riches. Not mine. Or yours. But riches are good, as talked about in Scripture. There were many people in the Old Testament, I can tell you, that were godly, wealthy people. Abraham was very wealthy. Isaac and Jacob were wealthy. And on down the line, God caused their crops to be bumper crops. He caused them, their herds and their sheep, to multiply and not miscarry. And they were wealthy people, but they were godly people. They had wealth, but wealth didn't have them. They followed God no matter what. And riches can be helpful if properly used. They can be harmful if sinfully used. And this came up in Sunday school, I believe, the rich young ruler. He thought he had it all. Maybe he thought he had it all. But he went to Jesus one day and he said, "Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life?" And Jesus said, "You know the commandments. Keep the commandments. You know, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal." And a few of them were named there. And the rich young ruler said, "Master, these I have kept all of my life. What do I lack yet?" And Jesus looked at him, loved him. In the book of Mark, same, it says, Jesus looked at him and loved him. He said, "One thing that you lack." He says, "Go sell what you have, give to the poor, and then take up your cross and follow me, and you shall have life." The young ruler was wrong at one point, because nobody's ever fully kept the perfection of the Ten Commandments except Jesus. And Jesus pointed out to him that he really did not love his neighbor as himself. That's the commandment that he broke. But yet Jesus loved him, wanted to tell him the truth, and did tell him the truth. And so there were thorns in the rich young ruler's life that wouldn't let him live for God. The Bible says he went away sorrowfully, for he had great possessions. And it's not a sin to be rich. It's sin if riches have you. And trust was the issue here. It's difficult for people to trust only in God. And to trust in riches is wrong. And to trust in your abilities, whatever they may be, is wrong if you are putting that before God. My friend, we've got to trust in the Lord with all of our heart. We've got to put our faith in Him. We can put our faith in things or people, and they will fail us. But God does not and cannot and will not ever fail. We need to put our trust in Him, those who trust in riches. Let's trust in the living God. And he says, people that are those among thorns, they're entrapped with the pleasures of this world. And our world is without question pleasure mad. Pleasure is not wrong if it's not sinful pleasure. But pleasure is temporary if it's centered in the world. We'll have pleasure beyond measure, those two rhymed, wouldn't plan, in eternity when if we're with Christ in heaven. But pleasure is temporary, it's not sinful in itself, but it can become sinful when it is sinful pleasure. And pleasure becomes sinful when it's replaced with worshiping God. And when it's replacing your love for God with things, stuff. and pleasure, when it replaces the altar and the love for souls, pleasure in itself becomes idolatry, something you worship, something that becomes more important or replaces God in your life. And this refers to those where the seeds were sown among thorns, and Jesus realized there's a lot of things that spring up in life that can choke out your relationship with Christ, and we need to not let the seed of God's word fall among thorns. Don't let the thorns grow up. We can control that. Amen. And they bring no fruit to maturity because they couldn't grow. But God has purpose for your life and for mine. That is, we grow up in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, God wants us to produce or have the fruit of the Spirit in our life. You know, we hear a lot about the fruit of the Spirit, but fruit is not for the one. Really, the fruit of the Spirit is not for me and you. It's for the people that see the fruit in us. Amen. And the fruit tree, the apple tree, is not for the tree. It's for us that pick the apples off and eat them. And so, when we have the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, self-control, those are for other people to see in our life. Amen. And for us also to be merciful to people as God was to us, and God for us to show the fruit of the Spirit, to be long-suffering and kind. You said, you may say, well, I've been long-suffering long enough. I don't know your situation, but you may feel like that sometimes. Let me add to that. Let the God's word add to it. Love suffers long and is kind. Whether it's your marriage partner. Amen. Let's move on, I think, from there. Okay. And so, pleasure is temporary, but there's thorns that can spring up. And yes, I like pleasure. I like to go somewhere and see things I hadn't seen before, and I like to... Oh, man, getting too close to 12, so better move on. No, I'm going to go ahead. I went for a long time ago, many years ago, before I had an accident 12 years ago, that I used to go to a gun show probably once every month or two, and I always had a gun to trade or something that I liked better, and I was always wanting to trade guns. It didn't do me any good, but I always did that. And yesterday, there was a gun show here in Quitman, and Norma said, you need to go to that. I don't know why she would say that. She knows what's happened a few times that have gone to. But I haven't been in like 12 years to a gun show. So I went, and I paid my $7 to get in, and we went, and I looked, and I saw all kinds of guns here and there, you know. But again, it dawned on me, you know, if you buy a new gun, all you can do is shoot it. Amen. That's it. That's a reward. That's a pleasure, and it'll shoot. And if you're good enough, you can hit something with it. I know. If you're in a barn with all the doors closed, you can hit the side of the barn, maybe. Amen. And so that's what just the thing with us men. Sometimes it gets that way. Should I get on the women too? You can only wear one pair of shoes. Okay. I'm going to stop right there. Okay. So sown among thorns. Let's move on. And there's the seed of God's word that falls on good ground. This is a soil of a person's heart that is ready to receive the seed that will produce a crop. These are people who hear the word of God, keep it, bear fruit with patience. And these are people who genuinely feel and believe and are fully committed to finish the race, this race of life, and have no plans of turning back. My friend, I want that to be you and I. Amen. We didn't start this race to quit it. We didn't start to fall off somewhere in the world. We didn't start living for God to someday quit. My friend, let's pick up our cross and follow Jesus. Let's take this thing to the end. Amen. Let's fight a good fight. Let's finish the race. Let's keep the faith. Amen. And so we can enter heaven one day. We want to know that the seed of God's word, when it fell on the ground of our heart, it fell on good ground. Amen. That will produce a crop. God wants you to grow in grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. He wants you to be victorious, and you can be as you walk with Him and live for Him and serve Him. Yes, disappointments in life will come. They do come to the people that have the most faith, if that's an issue. But I can tell you something. If we live for God and walk with God, there is a heaven awaiting that no pleasure in this world can compete with. Amen. So, amen. Let the seed of God's word fall upon the good ground of your heart. Have the soil of your heart ready to receive what God has for you. Amen.